Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
DU back to the NCAA tournament. They missed out last year for the first time since 2007 as Judd Caulfield comes in. The follow-up is buried by Tyler Clevin, and it's 2-0 North Dakota.
Boy, big hit. I think that was Clevin.
Tyler Clevin at the blue line. In the back of the net.
Big hit by Tyler Clevin.
Here's a member of Alaska Fairbanks as Clevin hits the post and finds the back of the net. What a night for the No-Deck Sens. It's 2-1 North Dakota midway through the second.
All right, an hour ago, we were signing the show on, and we got the Tyler Clevin news. So that kind of was a pivot, right, where you can still talk about us. Send your text in. Tyler Clevin is signed. He is sealed. He will be delivered tomorrow as he will join the Ottawa Senators ahead of, I'm not sure if they'll practice before heading off to Jersey, but he will join the team tomorrow, and that's the next game after tonight as they're going to be in Newark to take on the Devils. Okay, text messages coming in on a myriad of topics, including the Tyler Clevin signing. Jacob Chychrun is going to play tonight. He did not take the skate. DJ Smith just offered he had an appointment. He'll be fine. And then later on, when answering a question about how Branstrom and Shabbat have looked the last number of games, DJ Smith interjected and said, well, we're going to do a lot of Shabbat Chychrun tonight. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out against a very good opponent again, and that's the Tampa Bay Lightning coming into town here. On the topic of this is what everybody's talking about and what's the next thing, Ryan sent this in, just mentioned Marilainen. Anyone know if Clevin or Marilainen are eligible for the playoffs? Clevin is not because he was not a signed player. Marilainen is signed. He has signed his entry-level contract. He's on his contract right now as he's played over in Finland, but his season is now over. He had a minor injury at the end. That's why he didn't play in the playoffs. So I think that's still being determined behind the scenes of what to do. Is he healthy enough to come over and join the fray? So you split the difference on that question, Ryan. Clevin, no, not eligible. Not eligible. Marilainen, yeah, potentially. All right, we told you that Pierre Dorion did speak to the media a short while ago. Gord Wilson had his phone in on that, and Graham Creech has quickly put it all together for us. So here is Sens General Manager Pierre Dorion on the signing of Tyler Clevin.
Good morning, everyone. Obviously, today is a good day for our organization. We have agreed to terms with Tyler Clevin. He's someone that we're really excited to He's someone that we're really excited to have join our organization. He's someone that is a unique player in our estimation. He's big, he skates, he's rangy, he defends. I think people will be very appreciative of his skill set because he can also really shoot the puck. He's someone that he's not the type of defenseman that we have right now in our pool of prospects or on our team. So he's someone that we're really excited to have to come to terms with, and he'll get here later on tonight. He'll be practicing with us tomorrow.
So you foresee maybe a similar plan like when Bernard Docker and Pinto came here a couple years ago to get some NHL experience?
Well, we're a different position than we were a few years ago, so let's just see how it plays out. First of all, North Dakota and how we play is totally different, so I think there'll be an adjustment. Let's get him some few practices and let's see where we are as a team. We foresee most likely he'll be playing some games before the end of the year, but we're, you know, it's after watching him in person this year and all the reports from our development group, how his game had really trended in the right direction, we're really happy to have him here.
There's no promise, like as an enticement, that he would get a game in, though, before the...
No promise. You know, I think everyone knows what we pretty much have to do to get into the playoffs. So we'll just see where it is. And he's such a good, simple, humble kid that I don't think he needed any promises to play, which says a lot about him.
You've been through a few of these with JBD and Sanderson and Pinto. Was this pretty much the same playbook in terms of negotiations of getting somebody out of UND?
Newport, it's a different animal. So it's pretty much the same. It's always, you know, how we go about it, and you know, obviously a lot of our team is better now than probably where it was when some of those other players, it's different positions. So three of them are defense and one was a centerman. But at the end of the day, they want to be part of the organization. All four of them, we're happy that all four are going to be part of our future success. I think what Tyler's great for him is to see him come here when games really matter. And I think you can't take that, like that's a growth experience that I don't know if he'll be able to achieve that until we get to that position again. So I think that's another bonus for us.
Realistically, what's the timeline when you think he could be a regular NHL player? Like, is it too soon to say that in the fall he could compete for an NHL job, or how do you see that playing out?
In the fall he could compete for an NHL job. I think he, about a year ago, I figured he needed more time in the American League. And not because of the years gone by, but just time, games, experience. But after watching him this year on video and in person, he'll be knocking on the door at the training camp.
What has been the biggest development in his game? Like you say, a year ago, you weren't sure or whatever.
I think just the maturity. I think he's taken on being the number one or number two defenseman at North Dakota, playing in all situations. I think certain players mature at certain times, and I think this year, as much as we wanted to sign him after last year, I think it was probably the best thing for him to take where he plays huge minutes, which he did this year. And I think, you know, when you speak to Wade Redden and Jesse Winchester and Sean Donovan, they've been really impressed about, you know, Wade didn't really know him, just went in and said, wow. And, you know, the other, both Sean and Jesse, the steps he took and what I saw personally from last year to the World Junior to what I saw in person was, you know, a great growth curve.
Is skating improved or?
Skating's good. Skating, big range, he can skate, close gaps. No, but skating's not the issue.
Est-ce que possibilité que je démarche avec eux dès cette
année? Oui, c'est une très bonne possibilité que je démarche cette saison. Another update, Levi Marilainen is here. He'll be just flew in last night, just checked him out. Everything's 100%. He will be in Belleville on the weekend with a chance to play. Injury update. I think you all saw that Jacob Chychrun's not there. He just got an appointment. He will play tonight. As we all know, I'll go in worst case to best case. So Josh Norris is out for the whole year. Anton Forsberg is out for the regular season. Progressing really well. Could be on the ice as soon as maybe a week from now, maybe two. But not going to play in regular season. So let's eliminate that right now. He's a goalie with two MCLs and one MCL. If it was a player, he'd probably be playing sooner than later. Parker Kelly has a broken kneecap. He's out for the regular season. Cam Talbot and Matthew Joseph have both skated on by themselves over the last few days. We hope that both of them will be able to just start practicing with the team by next week. I think with Matthew, it could be sooner than later.
On Ferguson?
Yeah. Ferguson's a great story. For us, we just made the trade. It was a minor league trade. The Marlies had a lot of goalies. They were ready to give them to us. And after watching a few games, I told Ryan, put him on an AHL deal. He called a goalie. I was very impressed with him in a little action. And then who knows what happens. And then he played so well. I was watching one game and I said, no, he's been too good. Let's give him a chance. And he's played great. And we'll see what DJ decides here for tonight or for moving forward. But he's one of our two goalies for now.
Can I just ask one Klevin? It's a Klevin related question.
Okay.
If you look at the left side of your defense, you got Klevin, Sanderson, Shabbat, Chychrun, Branstrom, all natural left shots. Mm-hmm. How do you foresee that playing itself out? Because obviously only three of them could play on their natural side.
Well, we've seen now that he's played over 100 games, Eric Branstrom can definitely play the right side without any hesitation. Jacob Chychrun has played a lot of right side in Arizona, and he can play the right side. Thomas Shabbata, I think, can play the right side. I'd like to see it. You know, let's see where we are. That might be something DJ tries. Again, I leave it up to him. Jake Sanderson can play the right side. so they can all play the right side. And to me, it's the way the game's played now, how you slash, cut, gap up, doesn't, you know, you there's all Europeans play their other side. So to me, it's not a big deal. I think we make a way bigger deal out of this than what it is. You know what's good? We have a lot of good defensemen now.
All right, there you go. There's Pierre Dorion. So with additional information coming on the injury situation and the aforementioned Levi Marilainen situation en route and going to play in Belleville soon. So there you go. So Klevin news and Marilainen news coming on the same day in a positive way for Sens fans. And then also beyond that, broken kneecap doesn't sound like a lot of fun. So that's Parker Kelly's injury. So he's obviously done for the rest of the year. And Talbot and Joseph both tracking to play again this season. And the GM saying Joseph probably a little bit closer. They've both been skating on their own. I know when we had Darren Dreger as our insider on the pregame show a couple nights ago, Dregs was saying that he expected Talbot maybe to skate with the team at some point later this week. So we'll see on that front. Could that be tomorrow? Well, the next game comes up quickly on Saturday, but we'll see how that plays out when he could be healthy as we're starting to run out of a little bit of the season here. Okay, we'll take another break. Come back, some thoughts from you, what the GM had to say. What about configuration? That last question about all these lefties who can play the right side, going through all kinds of scenarios. It'll be up to DJ Smith in the immediate future how that plays itself out. Tyler Klevin, according to the GM, was not guaranteed games, but he does burn year one just by signing his contract. But we'll see how that goes the rest of the way. And we do know that Jacob Chychrun, just an appointment. He's fine. He will play tonight. And the coach said he's going to play with Thomas Chabot quite a bit tonight. So something to look for against the Tampa Bay Lightning. We're back in a moment on In the Box on TSN 1200.
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
Well, a lot's happened in the first hour 20 of the show or so here. Started with the Klevin news, and the GM spoke, the coach spoke. There was a morning skate. There is some doubt if Chychrun's going to play. That doubt quickly went away. He's fine. Didn't take the skate, had an appointment, and it looks like we're going to see him play with Thomas Chabot a bit tonight. The Tampa Bay Lightning are in town. They're not bad. They're still in a fight with the Leafs for home ice in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And, Creature, before we get the audio that you've quickly turned around for us, courtesy of Gord Wilson, we should mention this. This is the return of Nick Paul. This is the first game for Nick Paul back in this building as a member of the opposition. So I would expect a wonderful reception. Very popular player here in his time with the Ottawa Senators.
Oh, no kidding. Was a great player, a great person, great guy in the community, and should still be here. So I think guaranteed going to have a nice reception from the crowd tonight.
And listen, I will give extra points to any fan that comes to the rink tonight and you're wearing something from Red Lobster, maybe like the plastic bib or something like that. I bet you if you did that, if you're coming to the game tonight, that might get you at least on the Jumbotron, maybe on TV as well. Just saying, if you wanted to have a little fun with that. Nick Paul's back tonight. Okay, let's get to some of that sound here. First up, let's hear from Sens' number one center, Tim Stützle.
Talked about how you guys had a stretch of really tough playoff teams. How's the team feeling about facing Tampa Bay in just the past couple games?
Yeah, I think we played pretty good. I mean, as a whole group, I think we stuck with it, especially against Boston on the back-to-back. I think Sogi gave us every chance to win, and I think we had some really big chance there. But in the end, it's hard to win a game if you only score one goal. So especially me, I got to be way better, and wasn't good enough those last two games.
And is Nick Paul, I know you've played him before, but what did he mean to this organization when he did play here?
A lot. I mean, Paul, I actually saw him yesterday really quick after that practice. And, yeah, he's just such a great guy, and everybody loved him here and still loves him. So he's a special player, and I think the way he contributes to a team with his personality and the way he plays, I think is great for every organization he's on. And I'm really happy for him that he's able to sign that long-term deal there.
When you talk about needing to be better, are you finding that there's way more attention from the opposition being paid to you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think we talked about a lot the last couple of games we played against superstars on the other team. McKinnon, Crosby, McDavid, Pastrnak, Bergeron, like those are high-end players. And in the end, I think we stuck pretty good with them and played pretty good games. And in the end, I think just creating more offense for our team would help win more games.
How do you personally think you're matching up with some of those big names?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, they, especially when you play in away games, they always match up and try to play their best players and get their best D every single shift. So I just try to play my game every night, and especially against Bergeron, we talked a lot about playing good defensively, and I think we did that.
What do you learn as a group about this week? You got Tampa, Toronto, Boston, the three teams that are ahead of you in your division. What do you guys learn about, like, do you almost study them and see kind of what they're doing and why they've been so good and successful?
Yeah, I think especially when you watch Boston, they were up 2-1 going the third, and we didn't really have a whole lot in the third there. I think they shut us down, played really, really good defensively, made smart decisions. Everybody got the puck deep. Also, their skilled players made smart decisions. So, no, that's definitely a thing we want to do going forward and be able to shut some teams down there at the end. And I think we've shown during the season that we can definitely come back in a game, and they really didn't give us anything.
That's pretty much, there's Tim Stützle, Graham. That's what you and I touched on this yesterday, right? And he was on the front lines of that. And if you want to get specifically to Stützle, they had a plan for Stützle. And especially when they had the 2-1 lead in the third period, you get last change, you get the matchup you want. And it's not like, I think Tim Stützle still had a good game. He's hard on himself, needs to be better, but you're being checked into the ground by the best team in the league. That's really tough as a young guy to fight through, but he has high expectations of himself, and he's disappointed he hasn't been able to produce offensively really to his liking the last couple of games. And who do you get tonight? Well, you get last change, so that'll help a little bit, but Braden Point's the number one center for the Tampa Bay Lightning. It doesn't stop there. Cirelli, DJ Smith knows him quite well from his time in junior hockey. He's a really good checking center. The aforementioned Nick Paul is centering the third line right now with the Tampa Bay Lightning. So you get last change tonight, but you're still continuing to run a bit of a gauntlet here, aren't you?
Yeah, big time, as DJ highlighted. Just great experience for a guy like Stützle. We're speaking about a guy like Sanderson, the entire team really, but especially when you're looking at some of those players like a McDavid, immediately it's like, okay, how does Stützle going to react to going one-on-one with him, and how is Sanderson going to play? And they both have been terrific across the board in those games for the most part. And as we talked about yesterday, I thought Stützle had, I think he had four shots on goal against the Bruins, and yes, they limited the Sens, especially in the third period, really shut it down, and that's what the best team and one of the best teams of all time does against you and does so well, but he still fought and got some opportunities throughout that game. Plus, played pretty well defensively. So I liked how he looked against in that scenario, and I think he's been pretty good against a number of these players head to head. And we talk often about these last four games, though. The three they lost, they deserved to win, and the one they won, they didn't deserve to win. So that just says a lot about going head-to-head with some of the best players in the game, and it'll continue tonight.
All right, so we'll look forward to that, and let's continue to filter through the sound that's coming out of the room, courtesy of Gord, as Graham's got this ready for us as well. Let's hear from another Sen center. Here's Shane Pinto.
Yeah, obviously really cool. You know, I played with him for 1 year, and a good friend of mine. I'm just happy he's coming and start another chapter in his career. He's going to be a great player for us, I know it, and just happy for him and his family. It's definitely a cool moment for him.
A lot of talk is about he's kind of a different style of player in an era of puck movement defenseman. He's a little more old school in how he plays. Like, what's your scout report on him?
Yeah, I think you kind of described it perfectly. He's a shutdown defenseman. He has a long stick. He's rangy, and he's pretty skillful at heading, I think. I think that's a skill, and I think he does a really good job at it, and definitely he's going to be an impact player here for sure. It's going to be exciting to watch him grow and develop. So I'm excited for him, and I'm sure he's excited to be here. So.
You kind of him last few days?
I reached out to him couple days ago, I just said, you know, just take your time and, you know, enjoy the time with the boys back at school. Don't rush anything. And, you know, everything comes at you so quick. And, you know, you just lose a game and your season's over. And then you got other things to worry about. But I just told him to relax, you know, have some fun with his friends. And just take your time, enjoy the process. And, yeah, that's kind of the last thing I sent him. And obviously I reached out to him today to congratulate him. So.
You hear a lot about his skill, but what's his demeanor like? What's his focus or attitude like?
Yeah, he's a very confident kid, and yeah, he's quiet. He doesn't say too much, but he's serious about, you know, hockey, and he just goes about it the right way. He's a professional, and, you know, he came in as a freshman, and he was already pretty serious about it, and that's pretty special, I think, in my opinion. And just a quiet kid. He got a quiet confidence, and great kid, too, so... We're excited to have him for sure.
Apparently he's maybe arriving tonight or tomorrow. What do you do as a friend and a teammate to make him feel comfortable here?
Yeah, I think that's honestly a huge part of it. I think, you know, when I came in, I had Colin White kind of bring me in and just be a good friend to me. And, you know, it's a new experience. You're coming to a new country and, you know, you're in the NHL now. So it could be overwhelming, but obviously I'm going to be there for him, you know, be there for some support and just to be a friend, I think. It's a lot during this time, so I'm just going to be the best I can to be a good friend.
So there's Shane Pinto, obviously knows Tyler Kleven from his days at UND. And we kind of forget about that part of it as well. That's right, Colin White, who Pinto ended up kind of taking Colin White's spot, right, in the end. But Colin White was really good to Shane Pinto when he was the newbie, coming dropped in at the end of the NCAA season, and obviously, and he'll be doing the same. For Tyler Kleven, Brady Tkachuk's always, like, he's been so good as a young captain, always welcoming in new players into the organization as well. Oftentimes, come stay at my place if you need to, like Jake Sanderson did when he joined the team last year. So speaking of Jake Sanderson, he is also a former teammate at UND with Tyler Kleven, and here is the current Sens defenseman on the newest Sens defenseman.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I've known Klev for, gosh, 4 or 5 years now, so, you know, I'm super proud of him, and he deserves it.
Did you chat with him at all this week during the process, or did you just kind of leave him alone?
A little bit. I mean, I was talking to him and just some other buddies back at North Dakota, but, you know, I kind of just let him decide. I didn't want to, you know, have an influence, but, you know, he's my good buddy, so I wanted to know what he was up to, so I was talking to him a little bit.
What would you tell Ottawa fans about him? I know it's been 2 years since you played with him, but what would you tell Ottawa fans about Tyler Kleven?
Yeah, I know he's a big dude, really good defender, heavy, heavy shot, so, you know, hits really hard too, so some fans will be excited about that.
Are the teams aware when he's on the ice because of that hitting?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think their players and forwards especially got their heads up when he's on the ice, so, you know, they got to be ready for him.
What does it mean also just to have a bunch of UND guys here? Like, how does that help your chemistry, you know, on an NHL team?
Yeah, no, it's nice. Obviously, having Shane and JVD in the Sens organization was easy for me to come up and just know some names and some guys. So I think it'll be easy for Klev just to, you know, step right in and he'll know some names. And, you know, guys are super welcoming here, so I think it'll be easy for him.
Starting to be a glut of left-handed defensemen. How do you see things shaking out between everybody?
Yeah, I mean, that's coach's decision, management decision, so, you know, I can't really answer that.
All right, there's a little bit of Jake Sanderson on Tyler Kleven joining the organization as well. So he'll be with the team tomorrow, Kleven will be, and then we'll see when he gets an opportunity to get into the lineup. All right, this one just comes in. I want to be friends with Shane. Like, Shane Pinto.
That is good.
Were you, sorry, Graham, I know I do this because we work with so many different people.
Don't apologize for that.
Were you in studio with me? We had Shane on it near the start of the year.
At the rink?
At the rink studio, yeah. when he was Rookie of the Month.
Yeah, he's just giggling the whole time.
Oh, it was like, he's just an engaging guy, yeah. Right? Shane Pinto is just an engaging guy just to talk about anything with, right? And he is so comfortable in his own skin as a young guy doing these interviews. It's awesome. So I get that sentiment. I want to be friends with Shane. That's all the text says. I get that. I can hear that.
Well, when a regular scrum is entertaining to listen to, other than, like, I'm not saying that none of them are entertaining and you can get information about certain things when you listen to them, but most of them aren't entertaining in terms of, that guy sounds like he's having a good time. And Pinto is almost always that way. Does he remind you a little bit? I was never really I don't think I did any scrums with Spezza. I was here, but not in the room. Does he remind you of that a little bit? Or
a little, that's not a bad comparison. A little bit different, but always quite gregarious, you know, with the media, and also just off to the side to talk hockey, or anything, right? Like it's just, I think real student of the game as well, as we've come to learn with some. With Shane Pinto. So, yeah, if we talk to Shane Pinto every day, I'd be okay with that. Just he's a media person's dream, no question about it. Caleb writes, has a quote here. He's going to be an impact player here. That's one of the things that Pinto said, emphasis on impact. Let's go. And, yeah, that's what he was at UND as a member of Team USA at World Junior Tournaments. And that's what he projects to be as a pro. You don't. He's not Jake Sanderson. He's not JB. Like he's got his own style, and his style is I'm 6'5". Most guys aren't, and I'm big, and I have a mean streak, and I can shoot the puck. And these are all beautiful qualities to have as an NHL defenseman, especially when you project out when. The Senators eventually will be a playoff team again. That type of defenseman. And again, I always feel like I got to do this because you don't want to get ahead of things, and because you never know how things are going to turn out. But if he hits his ceiling of what the organization thinks he can be, fully developed as an NHL player, that is exactly what this blue line needs. Exactly, right? Chychrun, great pickup. Shabbat's already here. Sanderson's here. They got Zub locked up here. You know, we talked about Hamonic yesterday. I really liked Hamonic's season. I'm definitely, if I'm Pierre Dorion, I'm having that conversation, bringing him back. Obviously not at the ticket he's on right now, but if in today's game, and this is part of the reason why they drafted Tyler Boucher up front as well, as high as they did. They're looking for players because these guys, when they do arrive, these players that arrive and they've got that kind of edge to them and they can play in the NHL, and they don't have to be frontline guys, but they're everyday players that have roles on teams. Look at the Tampa Bay Lightning. Here's a perfect example of that. Look at Janot. Look at how many draft picks they gave to get Janot, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Is he a star player? No. But does he play a style that is coveted? Because not many guys do that at the NHL level. Like, not the way it used to be. The league has evolved here, but it's still important. It's still valuable. And the Senators are hoping when they trade it up in the second round to take Tyler Cleven in that looks what already is a wonderful 2020 draft for the Ottawa Senators. The hope is that they drafted a guy like that and they don't have to covet a guy like that and pay a lot for a player like that through a trade. You're hoping that was the plan at the time. The plan is on track. Now we'll see if it becomes fully formed, but so far so good. Love having those kind of guys around your team if they're going to be regular contributors. One thing to be tough, you got to be able to play at the NHL level, and they certainly think Tyler Cleven can. The GM spoke very highly of him and thinks he's got a chance to make the team out of camp at the start of next season. So continue to bring your thoughts on that. Nice to hear the perspective of a couple of former teammates from UND on Tyler Cleven as well. All right, some other thoughts coming in here. Keep your text coming at 12-1200. Standard text message rates do apply. Tim just wants to point out, yeah, he was a beauty. Andre Waugh was always a great interview too. Well played. Creature was ready.
Oh, that was good. No, I didn't even see the text. I just knew I had an Andre Waugh drop, and I haven't played it, like, ever. So as soon as you said his name, I'm like, where is it? It's right there.
Oh, that's good. That's awesome. So, yeah, Andre Waugh. I think I've told my favorite Andre Waugh as when he was a player interview was, I want to think it was ahead of the 2002 Salt Lake Olympics. And people don't, Andre Wa is American. He's born in the U.S. So it was some lead up to that. And I think it was when Country started to name their preliminary rosters, right? So it's like a, it was like a year out from that. And in particular, Canada started to name some maybes. And Wade Redden's name was getting mentioned. And, of course, Alfie's the captain. And then you're going through the room, right? It was kind of one of those days, and it was a picture day. There were various players that were on the team already or at least on the radar to play at the Olympics in 2002. They had their country's sweaters there, and they were to go onto the ice ahead of Sens practice and get their picture taken in their country's gear, right? So Andre Wa decided that he wanted to let people know that he was on Team USA's radar. So he just got like a plain blue practice sweater, and he got hockey tape, and he put USA on it. And he went out, right? That was the, well, everybody that follows him here in his post-playing days, that's his personality. That's his style. Yeah. Good call there. Yeah, he was always an absolute beauty as well. Okay, we'll take another break. We'll get to more of your texts that continue to pile in. It's mostly about Klevin. Understandable. But you know what? You want to talk about the other prospect that was kind of slipped in at the end of the scrum. Marilainen is in North America. He's going to be joining Belleville tomorrow, and he had a wonderful year. Check out his numbers. We'll go through them in their next segment. Levi Marilainen's numbers. He spent the season before in Kingston, where his numbers were okay, but nothing like his first full pro season playing in a very good league, the top division league in Finland. Had a minor injury at the end, so he missed their playoff games and his team lost. But now going to continue his pro season on this side of the pond, so we can talk about that as well. On a Sens game day, Sens and Lightning tonight on TSN 1200.
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
You should have seen by the look in my eyes, baby. There was something missing. You should have known by the tone of my voice, maybe. But you didn't listen. You may dare, but you never bled. Instead, you lay still in the grass. Oh, coiled up in the innocence.
All right, sing it, creature. You're playing it. Sing it.
I need a couple of bevvies first, I think. Or to be in my car alone.
In your car alone, or it's 1 o'clock at the karaoke place. A.M., obviously. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, definitely not bringing that to the air here.
All right, 11:47 in the box continues TSN 1200 Sens game day. We haven't talked much about the actual game day, right? Because we had the Klevin news and Dorian spoke, DJ Smith spoke, players spoke. So why don't we talk about the actual game a little bit here? So it is the Tampa Bay Lightning coming to town. 90 points on the season. They're still in a fight with the Leafs to try to get home ice seating in a first-round matchup of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Senators, well, we know they pretty much darn close have to run the table here to give themselves a chance. They're not mathematically done, but that's where things stand at this point. And the Lightning, Spencer asked this question earlier, and the answer is, yeah, he's back. Because Hedman was hurt. The Tampa Bay Lightning are pretty darn healthy these days. This is what we're expecting from the Lightning. We do expect the Senators probably are going to see old teammate, but it's been so long. No, just a former Senator, Brian Elliott. That's the smart money on who's going to start tonight for the Lightning and not Andre Vasilevsky, so there's that. Combinations these days for the Lightning. Hagel is playing on the top line with Point and Kucherov. Stamkos, Cirelli, Killorn, Colton, Paul, Maroon, Jeannot, Eisenmont, Perry, Hedman, Perbix, Sergachev, Radish, Cole, Chernik. So the Tampa Bay Lightning towards the deadline, we just mentioned this, just making another point earlier here, they went and they gave five draft picks for for Tanner Janot. And kind of like how they didn't care, they went out and they paid a lot to get Brandon Hagel. It's all about value and the cap as well, obviously, right? About paying a little bit more. This is an organization that's going to try to go to yet another Stanley Cup final. They've already won two. They've been to another final. It's such a deep pool of top teams in the East, and the top three in that division, as we know, are all excellent teams. Have you given yourself a chance to kind of look at that yet, Graham, about who actually comes out of the first round, and can the Bruins go pretty much wire to wire as the best team in hockey?
Yeah, I kind of do this every time I'm hosting a pregame, because I typically will ask some type of league-wide question, whether it's a race or potential matchups or who's going to come out of what division, whatever. So I look at the standings often and kind of think about that. It's easy to pick Boston. And actually, in some of my questions about who's going to give Boston or who's going to come out of the East or whatever, I'll actually eliminate Boston as an option. And I'll phrase it differently for sure. Like who's going to give Boston the best run or whatever. Because it's just so easy to pick them out of the teams in the East, even though there's a lot of really good ones. But obviously there's a lot of focus on Toronto, Tampa. I feel like Toronto has a team now that can do it. That said, I still don't trust the goaltending. I like New Jersey a lot. I like Carolina a lot, but a couple of key injuries might impact how far they're going to go. It's really up in the air, but I think there's a number of teams that have a possibility of going toe-to-toe with the Bruins, but I still think you have to kind of pick them as a favorite. Meanwhile, the West, it feels wide open, doesn't it?
Oh, the like, West, yeah.
I would never disrespect Colorado. I kind of give them that, hey, they're the cup champ. They're going through they do what, like, I think people look at Tampa right now, it's like, they're not playing that well. They lose to this team. They lose to that team. They're just so experienced that they can turn a switch. Not that it's completely off in the regular season, but they know what they need to do to get to the postseason, and they know what they need to do in the postseason. I kind of view Colorado as that as well too. Like they slow start, lots of injuries, but they've been on fire since January 1, and it's hard not to think of them as the favorite in the West. Although I think it's wide open. I think there's a number of teams that are very talented, but also have a weakness that it's like, man, this could go that way, that could go that way. I think it's wide open out West.
Yeah, I just pulled up the West here as well, and I don't know if you see the comments from Rick Bowness yesterday. He had a back and forth with one of the reporters in Winnipeg. It was about, the question was about players need to, coaches can only do so much. That was kind of the gist of the question. You know, players need to motivate themselves eventually, and Bowness is nodding, yep. He's agreeing with them, basically. And then the follow-up's like, what can the coach do? He says, that's what we're dealing with. And it went on. So I only bring that up because I've been talking about this for, like, I'm scratching my head. Like, what the heck happened with the Jets? Like, it's just, they look so good. I thought that they could come out of the West. Now I wonder if they're going to hang on to make the playoffs. Like, the only reason they're still in a playoff spot is because, well, Calgary and Nashville, every time you think they get a big win, you think, all right, they're due to maybe, and Nashville's been impressive because they sold at the deadline, and they're not dead yet. They got three in hand on the Jets. Like, they're the 10th place team. They're only 5 points, and I say only 5 points back because they have three games in hand, whereas Calgary is 4 points back at Winnipeg, and they're even in games played. Like, Winnipeg, like, it's just, that's the only team. All the other seven teams in the West right now, that it seems they'll make the playoffs, right? Seattle's the first wild card team. They got 85 points, and they're six up on Calgary and seven up on Nashville. I think Seattle's good, right? But Seattle all the way up? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's,
there's six teams that could win the West. I mean, in terms of being the top seed. Like, there's still six teams that could be the top seed in the West.
Like, Vegas has 94 points, and that's the top team right now. Seattle has 85. Like that's the gap between 1 and 7 here. And we know the type of season that, like, I don't – there's not many upsets here. I think the only upset would be if Winnipeg, Calgary, or Nashville, if it's them, right? Like, I would say, let's say something weird happens and Seattle drops to 8 and they still make it and one of those teams becomes 7. If you lose to Winnipeg, Calgary, and Nashville in the first round, if they beat you, that's an upset. Anything else that happens in the West, I don't consider it a big upset. It's that close.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's more intriguing almost. The
yeah.
West.
No, big time. And honestly, I want Edmonton to be the top seed because I want to see Vegas, LA, round one.
Jonathan Quick revenge tour?
Yeah.
That's what you want?
Big time.
Yeah, I think if that happens, man, I'm taking Vegas right now. I mean, chip on the shoulder revenge is that's a heck of a motivator.
And that's a guy that he wears his heart on his sleeve anyways, right? Like you're going to be hearing about it and you're going to be watching it if it plays out that way. I want to see that in round 1.
Like on a scale of 1 to 10, Jonathan Quick strikes me as the kind of guy that wakes up at a 7 of being pissed off. Right?
Coffee takes Jonathan Quick to get ready for the day.
he wakes up at 7, and if something goes sideways, it becomes a 9 quickly. And I think it's about an 11 right now when it comes to taking on the Los Angeles Kings here. Anyways, all right, so real quick, so the Lightning, just to let everybody know where it stands if you haven't looked in a while, it's a 3-point gap. They are now they played two more games, though, than the Leafs have. The Leafs have played 70 games. Tampa's played 72. And the Leafs have 93 points, and the Lightning have 90. So it's still up for grabs, but the Leafs are certainly in the driver's seat to get home ice in the first round, which is also valuable, and you get the last change more often. And that's, you know, hope, like the crowd, right? I don't know. Like for a team that's as professional, been there, done that as a Lightning, I don't know if that matters as much. It can matter, but this isn't like the NBA where you can see it just seems the crowds make even a bigger difference in your advantage. A real advantage is a matchup game. That's what the advantage is. Every rink's the same. It's a cookie cutter rink league now. But getting that last change for 4 games, if you need them rather than 3, is huge. So still something on the line here for the Lightning as they come to town to take on the Senators tonight. They'd want to get that last change in the first round of the playoffs in their matchup against the Leafs. Okay, we'll take our mid-show break. We'll come back next hour. We're going to play you the bulk of the interview with the mayor. Mark Sutcliffe was in studio with JR and Simmer this morning and talking all about Gary Bettman coming to town. Mayor's going to meet with the commissioner. That's on Monday. Bettman's going to be here for the home game against the Panthers. Sale process moving along. Where a potential rink could be. The city's role in all of this. Wide-ranging conversation. It was good stuff. We want you to hear it. We're going to get to that next on In the Box on TSN 1200.